Next up, a growing trend in computing that may change the way you use your word processor, your spreadsheets, email programs. You probably use, I'm sure, one of the more popular text or graphic programs put out by Microsoft or IBM, or Macromedia, Adobe. You know what I'm talking about, these office sorts of suites of programs. They're huge, big, bulking programs that cost hundreds of dollars. They take up lots of space on your hard drive. But what if you could ditch all of that and do your writing and editing in your web browser, actually use someone else's computer to do the heavy lifting? This week, Microsoft announced that it was moving more components of its Office suite online, and Adobe announced that it was buying an online Office application company. Google's been doing it now for months. Perhaps you use their Office suites on the Google website. They offer you, documents and spreadsheets and graphics, all kinds of stuff there. Is this a good idea? Should we be doing that? Maybe you can, you don't have to buy anything. You can use open source, free stuff online to do your text and spreadsheets and things like that. Joining me now to help sort this out is Eric Lai. He's a reporter for Computer World. He joins me by phone from San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Ira. How are you doing?
Is this a good idea?
These applications, these are definitely a good idea. I think for a lot of people, as long as you don't work in a large corporation that's going to, dictate what you can or cannot use, for a lot of people, these applications they're going to make a lot of sense, and they're definitely free, so everyone should give them a try.
Well, what's the idea? Why would these companies that charge hundreds of dollars for these Office suites want to give this stuff away?
Well, with Microsoft Office, I think a lot of people agree that after a certain point, maybe somewhere in the 90s, Office, keeps adding features, but 90% of them that they keep adding, people don't really need that much. So there's plenty of room for people to build, cheap, low-cost word processors that can do, they follow the 80-20 rule. They do 80% of what you need, and, they're free, and they're not that hard to build. A talented guy from Stanford can probably whip something up in, a couple months in his bedroom.
Are they doing this out of competition because there are these open-source free programs? And they're going to be forced to then join the crowd or be lost?
Well, with Microsoft, they are going online. They've got the strategy called software plus services. It's basically intended to protect Microsoft Office as long as possible. They do offer things like you can store Microsoft Office files online, but you can't create them. So in that sense, they're not doing anything like Google Docs or someone like Adobe. They're not doing anything similar to them at this point. They're trying to protect themselves from being cannibalized at this point.
So let's talk about then. Which ones are the good ones? What are some of the strong ones?
Well, it's funny. If you type into Google the phrase Office 2.0 database, you can find lists of these online Office replacements, things that can replace Microsoft Office. And there's literally dozens or even hundreds of them out there. The main one, of course, is Google Documents. Google Docs has a word processor, a spreadsheet, and a PowerPoint slide maker. They're all kind of follow the trademark Google minimalist interface. Google is sort of like Apple for the web. Everything's very easy to use and stripped down. Of course, the knock against them is that they don't have all the features of Microsoft Office. And so if you're a lawyer who has to create specialized contracts or someone who, uses macros, kind of these special functions in Office, you won't be able to use those in Google Docs.
Like you're able to mark the document up for someone else to see it. And
right.
Markup
I think Google
language,
Docs
things
lets
like that.
You kind of put comments, and it does let you track versions of documents. And that's one of the great things about, using these online word processors is that you don't have to email files back and forth with your colleagues perpetually and keep renaming them to update the version. Online, it's just one version that you all can edit. And, it takes away that whole version control headache.
Is Google the best one?
Google is probably the most popular one online. It's pretty much an open debate whether it's the best one. There's a lot of smaller companies out there offering really good products. There's one called ThinkFree. It's a Silicon Valley company. And the best thing about ThinkFree is that they're completely compatible with Microsoft Office. So they have no problems opening Office documents. And they save everything as a .doc, as a Microsoft Word document or a .xls document. So you never have to worry about that taking that extra step that you might have to do with a Google document. There's another one called Zoho Office. And the big great thing about them is that, with Microsoft Office, there's potentially up to 10 or 15 applications in their entire suite. If you could include things like Microsoft Access Database and all these other ones that people don't use quite as much. But Zoho completely matches Office feature for feature, program for program. So if you need everything, they've got it. And they just launched a database, a free database, too.
Mm-hmm. Does Adobe have anything coming?
No, so Adobe this week, they had their big user conference in Chicago, and I was there. And they announced a new word processor called Buzzword. Now, Adobe, as everyone knows, is they make graphic software, so PageMaker, Photoshop. So Buzzword, their hook is that it's part Microsoft Word, part PageMaker. It lets you create really good-looking documents, and it lets you keep all the nice-looking fonts you chose and all the page breaks. So that's one of the things with the online word processors that sometimes, you know, if I edit something and I've got a 19-inch screen and my buddy edits something and he's got a smaller screen, the pages are not going to match up quite right. But Adobe Buzzword is supposed to fix that for you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we should be looking out for that's coming up?
I think there's a few other smaller companies out there, and they're innovating in their own way. But you probably wouldn't go wrong if you try any of these big four applications.
You would think that somebody's going to gobble up one of these small companies.
Well, that's the thing. I think in the .com era, people were building things as quickly as possible in the hopes of being bought out or going IPO. The stock market isn't like that today, and Google has bought a few things, but in general, a lot of these companies are really trying to go for the long haul. So they're actually trying to make a good faith effort to build good features. It's the problem is that the market is really it is saturated at this point.
Yeah.
There's lots of them out there.
And you're leaving your documents online. I guess there's good news and bad news about that. You leave it online, it might be safer, right?
Yeah, it might be safer. If you've got great internet access, you don't really have to worry about it. You can always get them, and the thing is, if you travel, you can get those documents wherever you go. Of course, the downside is, as you travel, you can't have internet access everywhere you go. The example of the VC, the bankers, and the people who have to fund these companies and try to bet on them financially, the knock on them, they're always saying, well, what if I'm on an airplane and I want to do my work? I can't use Google Docs, which is true. But the thing is, Google is working on an offline version of their word processor, and in a few months you'll be able to use that offline on your laptop mm-hmm. while you're in an airplane.
Well, if you use Google Docs, let's stick with Google for a second. When you sign that agreement to join Google Docs, do you allow them to data mine, to look at your documents that you're putting up, your email, things like that?
That's a little bit unclear. I think their privacy policies, there has been controversy about that. I think with the emails, your Google email, it does appear that they are kind of mining that. Of course, mm-hmm. you can opt out of it.
Yeah.
Easily, I think at the documents at this point, I don't think they don't default to making them public. But I think they can easily turn that on, and they mm-hmm. could easily mine that. It's not clear to me. I haven't investigated that
yeah.
carefully, though.
It seems to me like the whole thing has come full circle from the last 40 years. There used to be mainframes. We had a little terminal back in the 50s, actually in the 60s and later than that. And everything resided on the mainframe. And you had to work on it. And then we had the personal computer. Everything resides on your desktop. And now the internet has sort of become the mainframe again.
Right. Yeah, I guess they called it time sharing back then. And here nowadays they call it software as a service or SaaS. And, I guess the difference now is that the PC is so powerful and that the applications really can't, probably about 10 years ago, literally, the applications have you can use a 10-year-old computer and you can run Microsoft Word 97. I mean, I was using that until just last year. And to write up most of my documents, and it worked fine for me. And that's why you can build things quickly and cheaply on the internet, and because the internet is fast, you can send down that application, all that mm-hmm. functionality, and it works mm-hmm. it works great for the majority of people.
Hey, I wrote a whole book on KPRO. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to the phones. Casey in St. Louis. Hi, Casey.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to mention that there's a Photoshop-style program out there called the GIMP that kind of has the similar ideas as the OpenOffice.
Oh, that's good. Is it open source?
Yeah, it's completely open source. And from what I know, there's not any difference because they put all their codes out. So people have made the same filters and brushes and things as Photoshop.
But it's not an online service, right? You don't use your web browser to use it.
No, it's an open source downloadable program.
All right, thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255. These people expect to make any money, the big companies. Are they just trying to keep you interested?
Well, there's a little bit of that, and you know, a lot of these companies are really thrifty. You know, the dot-coms back then spent millions of dollars to launch things quickly. A lot of these companies are, you know, even in Silicon Valley, I mean, the rent is sky high, but they're still, you know, being very clever about building these things with just a few programmers. I think the big model right now, of course, is if it's online, you can make money through advertising. So as I'm typing my document in ThinkFree, that they will send ads down to me. Now, again, I don't ThinkFree, I remember talking to them, they are not, for instance, you know, mining what I'm typing about. If I'm typing about, you know, fresh fruit or something, they're not going to send me ads about apples or oranges or something, or some sort of durian or something like that. But you know, it's the web advertising, and that's why Google seems to be so formidable about this, because they're the ones who could probably, they know how to make money. You know, offering a service like this online.
Right. Sierra from Boston is concerned. She writes in our Second Life, if documents are online, what kind of assurance do people have for security? Is our information fair game? You seem to be saying that people should feel secure about these documents.
I think you could feel reasonably secure, because right now, you know, for instance, email is one of those things that we feel very, you know, a lot of it, you know, we feel very personally, it's very important to us, and yet, in almost all cases, either like with Google Mail, Gmail, it's hosted. With Hotmail, it's Microsoft has control over it. Yahoo's got control over your Yahoo Mail. And if it's your company, you know, your company's email server, well, somebody's hosting that and controlling it for you. And oftentimes it's not on your company's premises. It's like, you know, hundreds of miles away. So, you know, we have less control than we think, and we're not really giving up that much more control using an online word processor.
Greg in Fresno, welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks for taking the call. I've been using open source software for quite some years now. I'm a bit of a Linux fan, but I've been using a suite called OpenOffice. It's a downloadable software. It's not something online, but it is just as powerful as any of the Microsoft Office or the Corel Word or any of those programs. I can open up Excel sheets. I can even save things in the same format.
Why not use one that's online? Why stick with that? Or do you just feel it's more comfortable, or are you fearful of going online?
Well, I work in a security industry, so certain policies don't allow me to use online software.
Ah, I get it. Okay, thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255. We're talking about online software, the trend this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flato, taking your phone calls. We're talking with Eric Lai. He's a reporter for Computer World. Do you think, Eric, that sooner or later everything is going to meld online? That, you know, let's say you have MySpace or Facebook or any of those things that are just going to combine everything, put the word processor right in there. You never have to leave the site.
Yeah, I mean, I think the world is moving towards sort of a ubiquitous connectivity, and, you know, with our little phones and devices and Blackberries. I mean, that's the rudimentary. Those are the baby steps towards everything being completely online. And so, you know, I think in principle, this hard line between what a desktop software is and what online software is really, it's blurring. And you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, who knows what that's going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones to Steve in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for taking my call. I was just thinking that when you announced this title of the show, that it seems to me back in the late 80s or early 90s, and I hope I have the company right, but I watched an interview on television, and I think it was the CEO of Oracle, who said that he was planning to do a centralized software system where you wouldn't have it on your computer anymore. So it's sort of like old news come back to us.
Eric, any
comment? Yeah, I remember that well. That was in the mid-90s, and Larry Ellison was touting something called the network computer, and it was sort of a back-to-the-future timeshare model. And I remember at a press conference, he brought out this very snazzy-looking device. They call them thin clients nowadays. They're sort of like PCs without a lot of the extra bells and whistles. And again, all the software would come through the Internet. Now, that failed in the mid-90s because back then, you know, most people did not have DSL, and so applications just couldn't come down to you very quickly. And nowadays, you know, most people do in the U.S. Arguably, in the U.S., we have pretty slow connectivity compared to the rest of the U.S., the rest of the world. But it's still good enough for these applications today, whereas 10 years ago there was not.
Brian in St. Louis, how you get the last word today?
Yeah, I just want to know, why bother with online applications when we have a perfectly good free office suite by the name of OpenOffice?
Good question.
OpenOffice, I think, is a great office suite. I think, again, it's free and it's open source, so it's kind of developed by a community out there. And IBM nowadays is actually, a couple weeks ago, said that they're going to do a version of OpenOffice called Symfony. And so that's something that they're hoping to market to big companies. Now, again, OpenOffice is a great software. I think the knock against them is that you have to take an extra step. If you've got a lot of Word documents you got to open, it takes an extra step sometimes to open them. And moreover, it's actually the saving them. You know, the files may not come out perfect if you're doing something very complex. Now, that may be some FUD on Microsoft's part, but, you know, a lot of people, it hasn't been enough to get a lot of people to switch at this point.
It seems that if you want to share in a small office situation, share documents easily, that's the online is the way to go.
Yeah, it sounds really good. I mean, I think it's a great solution. I mean, I just dabble with it because, you know, like a lot of people, that's the thing, is a lot of people have Office on their machines, and if it's being paid for by your company, you may not need to switch at this point. But if you've got a small business, it's probably a great solution.
Right, just attach right to an email right as you can and share it with other people. Thank you very much for taking time with us.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Lai, who is a computer writer, and he talks about computers and has been reviewing this computer issue with us. He's a reporter for Computer World. We've run out of time. I'd like to thank our producers, Karen Vergoth and senior producer Annette Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. Josh Rogerson is our technical director. Our audio engineer today is Neil Rausch. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help from NPR librarian Mary Glendinning. If you'd like to write us, please send your letters to Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. We're podcasting and blogging, and also you can meet some folks in Second Life. Just go to Science City there and Science School, and you'll be able to find folks hanging around, getting free T-shirts, Science Friday T-shirts, and making new acquaintances. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.